Good morning, friends and family. Our guest speaker today for Baptist Women's Day is someone who some of you may know. For those of you who do not, let me tell you a little bit about her. Rebecca Watson Autry was raised right here at Jonesboro Heights Baptist Church by her parents, John and Phyllis Angel Watson. Notice that name, Angel. And a lot of great support by her grandmother, Lucille Angel, from the time she was a small child until an adult. Rebecca was active in Sunday school, Girls in Action, the youth ministry, and ACT Teens. Lots of mission work growing up. Rebecca attended and graduated from Meredith University, majoring in music. Rebecca left Jonesboro Heights to serve as the pianist at Broadway Baptist Church in 1998. She served in the music ministry until she met and married her husband, Chris Autry, in 2003. Over the past 20 years, Chris and Rebecca have ministered in North Carolina, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Vermont. They served both established churches as well as church plants with the North American Mission Board in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Before coming to the Fayetteville area last year, they were most recently serving Central Vermont, helping the church plants of the Baptist Churches of New England. Rebecca said that returning to North Carolina was a surprising and exciting call. Rebecca homeschools their eighth grade son, Sam, and teaches music lessons from her home. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Rebecca Watson Autry. Rebecca, thank you for coming today and sharing how God has used you and is continuing to use you as you are obedient to Him in service. Thank you.
Nothing like family to make you feel good and at home. Thank you. I'd like to take just a personal privilege as someone who received funding from the Annie Armstrong offering in the past. Just thank you. Thank you for what you do. That money goes to important things, exciting things. And also thank you for praying for missionaries on their birthdays. That's a big deal. I don't know if you know this, but we know many missionaries who don't celebrate their birthday on their birthday because on their birthday they know they're being prayed for. So what they do instead is they have their biggest outreach. They have their biggest event. They have their biggest service. They talk to the scariest person that they've been praying for 5 or 6 years. But they do all those things on their birthdays because they know that back home, they're being prayed for. So I just want to say thank you for that. If you would, let's open our Bibles. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When I was first contacted to come today, I looked at my husband and I said, I don't think I have anything I can add to, I don't think I have anything to say. And he said, well, pray about it and ask the Lord if there's anything that you can bring. And I said, okay. So that night, I just want you to know that I was up all night long. I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit. I don't know if it was just a heart of gratitude. But as I thought about Jonesboro Heights, and what you've meant to me, as I've gone off and done other things, coming back, I want to talk about you. I want to tell you what you mean to me, and I want to tell you what you've meant to my life, mostly because you are such a big part of it. So I want us to read, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you know anything about the church in Corinth, they were a bit of a mess, let's just say it. Paul spent about a year and a half in the city of Corinth, and you can read about it in Acts chapter 18. If you go there, you'll see that there were some quarreling happening, and that's what he's starting to address in the book of 1 Corinthians. If we look, there's always an issue. He brings up a major issue, but as the Bible Project puts it, and I love how they put this, immediately almost there's a gospel solution. There's a gospel solution. There's an answer. There's something we can do to shift what we're thinking. So as we look at this, I want you to see that the problem that's going on is there's a little bit of immaturity in the church. There's a little bit of division. And it's happening because they're looking to the leaders as who they're following, not Christ. They're saying, hey, my favorite teacher is Paul. I'm his student. Hey, no, I like Apollos. No, I'm his student. Where really Paul wants them to know Christ has to be the center. That's the center. So that's where we're starting. Verse 4 says, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, that's Paul. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. I'm going to keep reading just a little bit. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So if the problem is that they're following these leaders, Paul really quickly says the answer. And the answer is Christ. The answer is God. The answer is focusing your life on God. And of course, we're servants for the Lord, right? So he is the one who calls us to plant or to water, but only he can make things grow. Only he's the one that can make any ministry grow. He's the only one that can call people to himself. We can only be a part of it. All these wonderful things are exactly that you've been talking about so wonderfully. They are things that we as people can come together to serve him. I want to tell you a couple stories, if that's okay. Because I feel like being here, I went over and spent some time in the older building, and I just want you to know it smells the same, it looks the same, it's fantastic. I took pictures, I sent them to Jenny and Bramley. If you know me, I was part of a trio that we're all grateful that you let us grow up here. But Bramley, her daughter, is very sweet, and one day she said to me and Jenny, she said, I love it when you come over here because you tell me stories from the 1900s. And she was so sincere. She was so sincere. But if you'll allow me, I'd like to tell you some stories of Jonesboro from the 1900s. Maybe the 1980s and 90s. And maybe even, if you remember this word, around the time of the quasi-quicentennial. Does anybody remember? As soon as I learned that word, I wanted to use it for the rest of my life. So here I am. I'd like to tell you just a few stories of some people who the Lord used to grow my life. The foundation of Christ happened in my home. My parents led me to Christ when I was 9 years old, and I'm blessed. I was 10 years old when I was baptized by Mr. McDowell, Reverend McDowell, and I came to know the Lord through the youth group here, through the teaching of Frank Malik, through ACT Teens, through all the wonderful programs that the Lord had at that time and continues, I know. But I'd like to tell you just a few stories of some specific women who watered my life, who poured into me, and who I want to say thank you to. Some of them aren't even with us anymore. First, I'd like to tell you a story about Mrs. Nancy McDowell. She was my first and second grade Bible school teacher. And we were over in the old building, and we were working on our thing that we were supposed to present. And she decided that she would creatively let first and second graders, I guess that's 6, 7-year-olds, decide how they wanted to present their Bible story. We wanted to tell our Bible story through puppets, which was great. She was very excited that we wanted to use puppets, but we didn't have puppets, so we wanted to bring our Cabbage Patch dolls into the building and use them as puppets. Okay, that's great. We didn't really know how to hold them, so we decided, as first and second graders, that we would put rubber bands around their necks and we would hold them by their heads. So, Mrs. Nancy McDowell, being the encourager that she was, she did not discourage us from this. Her goal was that we told the story. Her goal was that we knew the story. So we stood up in front of our parents and all the other children and we would throw the baby's head, and it would bounce back at us over and over again as we're telling a Bible story. And it sounds silly now, and later I was embarrassed. But when I really think about it, she was planting seeds with us. She just wanted us to tell the story. That's all that mattered. She was fine with us being creative. She was fine with us doing it the way we thought we could do it because she didn't want to stop us from telling about the story of Jesus. So I'm grateful for that. One day in heaven, I hope to tell her that I can't believe she let us do that, but I'm so grateful she did. I'll also tell you, when I became a pastor's wife, I thought that I had entered some secret society with her, that she knew things and I knew things, and now we were closer. And I'll tell you, she's one of the sweetest ladies I've ever known, so I'm grateful for her. I'd also like to talk about, excuse me, a lady who sat at this piano for many, many, many years. If you were a part of Jonesboro during that time, you remember the music that would come swelling from both the organ and the piano from Miss Catherine and Mrs. Mabel Bullock. By the time that I could take piano lessons, I was so excited to enter her home, to be a part of what she had going on, to learn what she knew. Because if you ever remember, it would just ring through this building with such worship and such intent and such beauty. Such beauty I don't know that I've ever heard again. But as I was her student, I got to see behind the scenes. I was excited to be her student, and I sat with her on my left for many, many years. She always had lemon drops, and they smelled really good. And she always had a ruler. She never hit me with it. It was for pointing, but she always had it. I don't know about any of you. If that's your story, that's not my story. She would use it to point at the music. Sometimes I would have a rough day and I would forget something, or I would have done poorly in school that day. And Mrs. Bullock, she always could tell. And she would say, "Why don't we stop for a minute and why don't we go see if there's any pecans under the tree?" And so we'd go for a walk. And so by the end of it, she'd have told me something about her day, and I would tell her something about my day, and she'd tell me it's going to be all right. And then we'd go play piano. And that happened many, many, many times. A friend of mine told me that I was talking to her about this specific thing. And she said, "You know, one day my mother burnt dinner. And I was supposed to be at piano lessons. And she said, my mother called and she said, 'We're going to be a few minutes late. I have burnt dinner. There's smoke in the house. I'm going to have to open the windows.' And she said, I was so frazzled. I was glad I even had my piano book. I don't even know what I was thinking. And she said, when I came in the door, Mrs. Bullock was at the door, and on the table was dinner. And she said, she fed me. She said, I think we played piano that day, but she fed me. And I just want you guys to know, looking back, she was watering my life just like Miss McDowell was, with encouragement. She was showing me what it was to have compassion, to have love, to have Christ in the center. I remember the day she brought out the hymnal, and she said, "All right, we're ready for this." And I thought, four notes on top of each other? I don't think so. But she said, "I was ready." And when we started, she looked at me, and she said, "I'm going to tell you something." She said, "Playing for the Lord is different. It's so much more fun." And she was so right. My whole life, I've been able to sit at pianos or conduct choirs. And she's so right. I've had the chance to tell so many students that over and over and over again, playing for the Lord is so different. I want to tell her a few things too. And when I get to see her, if you notice in this verse 8, it says, "The man who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor." I know that Miss McDowell and Miss Bullock have received their rewards. But I'd love to tell Miss Bullock all the things that I've been able to accomplish and the things I've been able to do because of her. Not because I'm wonderful, but because of what she poured into me, because of the water she watered my life with. I'd love to tell her that I have had 10 students, which I'm pretty proud of, go on and be music majors in college. I've had 6 go on to be piano teachers, but I've had 20 in the last 20 years, go on to play for their church. And that's a big deal. That's because of her. That's because of what she did in this place for all of us. In my ministry with my husband, my favorite thing, no matter if we've been on the mission field or if we've been in a local church around here, is small groups. You were talking about your wish group and how it's the best in the world. Well, my small group is the best in the world, no matter where I live. I have enjoyed sitting with ladies and reading scripture. One of the greatest joys of my life is to sit around with women and to discuss God's word, to fellowship, to eat, to talk about life, to talk about our families, to take care of each other when we're sick, to do all of those things. And when I was thinking about it that night that I stayed up all night long, I learned that from here. Middle school Sunday school class taught by Miss Elaine Tyner, I don't know if she still teaches it, but she taught it over on the third story in the building next door. I went over there, it's still there. It still looks the same. And every Sunday when we would walk into a circle of chairs. And in the middle was her table, and she had her books. But she also had a percolator, I think is what you call it. And we had hot chocolate every Sunday. I don't know, we probably asked for it in August. But we had hot chocolate, and we sat in a circle, and she taught us how to love the Word. She taught us the Word every week. She taught us how to pray. I looked over there. There's still the sign up. I'm sure it's newer than when I was there. But she taught us how to pray using our hands. If anybody was in the class, raise your hand if you remember it. You call on the name of the Lord. You thank Him for something. You ask Him for something. You call in Jesus' name and you close. And she taught us that. And we were consistent prayers. We were consistent readers of God's word. And she made us love it. And so now when I think about it, if I connect the dots, she was planting seeds. She was watering that in my soul, in my life, because she knew that God was the center. She had this correct. All these ladies had this correct. They had God in the middle. They were not trying to be famous. They were not trying to be followed. They were trying to point us to Christ. So now I don't know if I can think about it any differently when I sit in a circle with my ladies and we check in. And we spend an hour checking in instead of reading God's word, and then we have to stay an extra hour so we can make sure we cover everything. But it makes me want to make hot chocolate. It makes me want to practice all the hospitality that she taught me and that I'm grateful for. So thank you. So there you have it. I want you to know that in my experience in the 1900s here at Jonesboro, I saw these things true. I saw people planting seeds and people watering them, but I saw that God made it grow. And I'm so grateful. The one who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. So now I ask the question, how's it going now? It's been a while. Who are the waterers? Who are the planters? Who's watching what God is doing grow? I hope that maybe as I've spoken, maybe you've thought of, I'm speaking to the women for a moment, maybe you've thought of women in your life who've poured into you. Maybe you've thought of people that maybe you connect the dots, that they were watering your life. They were planting seeds into your life. And maybe you've seen God grow things that wouldn't have happened without their serving Him. Just want you to think about that this week. I want you to think about how you can do that now. Who's watching you? I was watching Mrs. Bullock. She didn't know I was watching her. She didn't know that I, when I was 10 years old, daydreamed and thought the perfect job is to be a stay-at-home mom and teach piano lessons out of my home. But that's what I thought when I was with her. But she didn't know that. So who's watching you? Who's a part of your life right now that you're planting seeds in? Are they good seeds? Are they seeds that the Lord can grow for His glory and for His honor? I'd be remiss if I didn't say to you, if you don't know the Lord, I'd like for you to know this. The creator of heaven and earth, the one true God, loves you. He loves you so much. He loves you so much that He would send His Son, His only Son, to this earth. Not just to live on this earth, to look at this earth, to be a part of it, to feel it for himself. But he came so that you wouldn't have to die a death because of your sin. And I just want you to know that not only did he come and did he die, but he rose again. Just like we sang, I love that song. My goodness, I love that song. But he rose again exactly to bring you back to himself, so that he could be the center of your life, so that you too can serve him and plant and water and watch him grow. As your pastor comes, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for letting me be here. And thank you for being a part so much of the life that I've enjoyed.